And joining us is State Senator Tom Bach. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning. Pleasure to be on with you.
Well, good to have you. We're a little concerned up here in the Great North about the possibility of an end to mail-in balloting if, in fact, the voter ID amendment passes. And so we actually contacted the Secretary of State's office to find out, get some background information on precincts that use mail-in ballots, and particularly to see if they, as so often is said that they favor one party over the other by not having a mail-in ballot. I found out that it was actually pretty even in terms of the counties with precincts voting by mail. 21 counties were majority of DFL votes. 25 had a majority of GOP votes. But the reason I'd like to talk to you is in the 7-county Arrowhead, which is I think larger than your district, but it does include Cook, Lake, St. Louis, Carlton, Itasca, Aiken, and Cooch. Of all of the 104 mail ballot precincts that were cast in those 7 counties, the majority were DFL ballots. Now, the question is, can you weigh in on that?
Well, I'm very concerned about it because when you get into rural Minnesota, there are a lot of counties like Cook County and especially like Coochichan County that I now represent, right, that have large mail-in ballot programs. And there is no provision in the law for them. And, you know, so that means whatever the substantially equivalent to a photo ID is going to be, because that's what the law says, is you have to establish a substantially equivalent provision. The legislature will define that, and very likely then it will end up in the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court ultimately will decide whether we have mail ballots or whether we have absentee ballots, because there is just no way you can prove. Once it's in the Constitution, you have to have a photo ID, and that's what the question is. The Supreme Court will interpret the Constitution, and I think you could see the end of mail balloting, and that is going to be terrible, and then it's going to disenfranchise a lot of people. And it is, and if counties try to set up precincts in all of these rural areas, the cost is just going to be horrendous, and that ends up being passed on to property taxpayers. What's so disappointing about it is, you know, we went through a recount in 2008, the Frank and Coleman recount. We went through a recount in 2010 with the governor's race with Dayton and Emmer. Not one case of fraud. And this is really an issue looking for a problem. And it is intended to restrict people's access to vote. In fact, I'm so concerned about it that I wrote an op-ed yesterday that I sent to all of my newspapers in my district, kind of trying to make people aware of the challenges. It certainly is going to get rid of same-day registration. And that's about 500,000 voters register the same day that they vote in Minnesota. So it's going to put a lot of obstacles in the way of voting.
Yeah, to follow up on that, yesterday, former Secretary of State Joan Groh quoted a study by the Carnegie Knight News 21 program and found out that voter fraud is, in her words, virtually non-existent. So, and you're talking about a lot of people. Well, in the last election, there were 47 counties. This election, there'll be 52 counties using mail-in ballots, and that's a total of 514 precincts, and as you said, mostly in rural counties. Now, how's the legislature going to, I mean, let's just make an assumption. Let's assume that the legislature stays balanced as it is now when you convene in the spring. How are you going to deal with that?
Well, the makeup, if this passes, and I just pray that it doesn't, because this will change voting. It'll change the history of Minnesota and Cook County, for that matter, leading the state in voter turnout and the country. The makeup of the next legislature is going to be critically important, because the next legislature, if this passes, will write the implementation language of the law. The next legislature will decide, is a student ID on a college campus going to be a valid form of identification? Because right now it's silent on that. It says government issued. So the next legislature will decide what a government issued ID is. Now, is it government issued if it's issued at a private college? That's going to be a problem. But there are a lot of students in this state that live away from home. You know, their driver's license, when they got it at 16, it's good for 4 years. The address of where they live and whatever town they're going to college on their driver's license is not going to match where they live, and they're not going to be able to vote. Maybe there'll be some way they can vote absentee, and we're not even sure that that's going to happen. So the next legislature will define all the implementation, what a voter ID, a government-issued one, is. You know, veterans, it's an issue for veterans with their IDs. I'm just very, very concerned about it. So what we've done by putting this on the ballot is ultimately put in the hands of the Supreme Court who has the right to vote in Minnesota, and that is highly risky.
You've been around the legislature for a good number of years. Have you seen anything like this before where the next legislature has to decide the details of a law passed the year before?
Well, I think that's relatively common, that the legislature writes much of the implementation language, because we limit what we put in the Constitution. But what I have not seen before is something go to the ballot on a partisan vote. There was not one Democratic vote in the House or the Senate for this. And I really strongly believe that if putting something to the voters to amend the state's Constitution is important, we ought to have some bipartisan support for it. So clearly there's something wrong with this. The people I've talked to around the Capitol, nobody can remember a time when something was ever put on the ballot with only one party supporting it. So I'm actually going to offer a constitutional amendment myself, if I can get it passed, that requires a supermajority of the legislature to put something on the ballot in the future, so that we make sure that we have we work through issues and try to find some bipartisan language on future constitutional amendments.
Okay. Well, thank you for joining us. We've been speaking with Minnesota State Senator Tom Bach. You're kind of the number one in the minority party this time around.
Well, I'm the minority leader, so it's my and I want to thank all the people in Cook County who haven't seen me around a lot. I'm going to be up at the county board meeting in October, but I've got a lot of responsibility in trying to run the DFL Senate campaign all across the
state. Also,
I talk to candidates every day, all day. I talked to one this morning before I got on the radio.
And in a bigger district as well. Thank you.
You know, just a fun fact for people. You know, sure. The district was big, but now when Coochichin County was added to it,
yep.
There actually are 9 states that are smaller than this Senate district. If you can imagine it. You know, we don't think of Maryland as being a small state, but it's actually 500 square miles larger than even Maryland.
Oh, dear. Well,
but
thank you.
It's a great constituency to represent. Thank you all for your support
and
over the years.
Thank you for calling us this morning, Senator, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you. Okay.
Bye.
Have a good day, everybody.